Hi, Stuck Mike here, and we're in our last quarter hour of Squawk 1200. It's the time of the day when we talk to folks who are participating in AirVenture's International Federal Pavilion. And so two of the exhibitors in the pavilion are with us at this point, Bird Strike USA and folks from the Bahamas. We're going to talk first with John Ostrom, who's with Bird Strike USA. John, welcome back, and to your organization, welcome back.
Thank you.
So you have an interesting exhibit where you're showing some of the problems that are caused by bird strikes and some of the interventions and mitigations that are in place, all different kinds and ways. So kudos on a really interesting display. What's the message that you're looking to convey?
Well, our primary mission here at Oshkosh is outreach and education. We've got a lot of GA folks out there. And we know that we're hitting a lot of birds across the country in that. And our goal is to, one, educate the pilots about the dangers of wildlife and aviation, but also that if they do strike birds, that we want to know about that. So filling out a strike report form, whether it be the paper-based form or online, or sending the actual remains into the Smithsonian and identifying. Because as airport operators, then we're able to then manage the problem. Because if we don't know what we're hitting, we don't know what we can manage.
And John, what's the mechanism of reporting? How do pilots do that?
There's a number of ways. FAA has actually got an app out there where you can actually report through your phone or tablet. You can actually go online out to their website, or you can actually do it the old-fashioned way by filling out a paper-based form and mailing it in.
I think if I'm doing if I'm flying and it's my aircraft, I think maybe one of the last things I'd think about once I'm getting over the shock of the expensive repairs is sending remains in to the federal government. Tell me why that's so important.
Well, it goes back to, as airport operators, they're the ones that have to actually deal and manage with the problem. And so if we don't know what we're hitting, we don't know what species we manage. Because an airport isn't a biological desert. It has a variety of species on it. And not every species has the same level of risk that every other species does. So if we know what the species we're hitting, that's the one that poses the greatest level of risk, and those are the ones that we hit.
In terms of on-airport mitigation techniques or strategies, can you outline for our viewers what some of those are?
Sure. We preach an integrated model. It starts off with habitat modification. Usually wildlife are coming to an airport for a specific reason: the food, shelter, water. If we can identify why they're coming and we can remove it, then we solve the problem. If that doesn't work, then we use exclusion. Obviously, fences work well for the four-legged type critters, but there's a variety of other exclusionary devices where we can put gridding or wire over open water to prevent ducks and geese from coming. And then after that, we use harassment. Basically, it's scaring birds in a variety of different tools, from pyrotechnics, even to just jumping up and waving your arms around to move the birds. Then we have capture relocation for target species such as raptors. We'll actually capture them, relocate them several hundred miles away from an airport. And last but not least is lethal control. We preach lethal control for a variety of reasons. In some cases, it's an immediate safety threat. If you've got a white-tailed deer on an international airport with airplanes moving around 100, 140 miles an hour, you don't want that deer running around. And the other one is to basically reinforce harassment methods. Birds, if they don't feel a threat or other animals, harassment isn't going to do anything. So lethal control is a method to take out one or two to get them the message that harassment is not the worst thing.
Well, as a pilot myself, I appreciate all you're doing to keep us safe.
Well, thank you.
Also with us today are some folks from outside the United States. Captain Dennis Danes, who is with the Royal Bahamas Police, and Officer Trevor Roll, who is part of the Customs Organization. So for Captain Dames and Officer Roll, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Captain Danes, let's start with you, if we could. So what's the message that you're looking to get across as part of the police organization who will be there to visit us, hopefully with a smile and not a frown, huh?
Well, part of my job of being here is informing pilots of a lot of pilots are concerned in flying into the Bahamas whether the aircraft are safe when they land at some of the airports. Or some of the airports, there's nobody there. It's just you and just the airplane. So what we do is on each family island, we have police officers. And police officers are there to periodically check the aircrafts, make sure that all the aircrafts are safe. So we kind of relieve that stress for them so they don't have to worry about it, because policemen is there at all times, 24/7.
Is this a response to anything in particular? I mean, have there been incidents that have gotten sort of airplay in the pilot community in the United States?
Yeah, there was one incident where we had a complaint from a few pilots that flied into the island of Cat Island, and they said that somebody tampered with the aircraft while it was there at nearby Cat Island Airport. So we looked into that, and we were able to then correct that measure by having officers there. So what we have is we have some fly-ins that come into the Bahamas. They kind of let us know once they're coming in. So if there's no policeman on that airport at the time, once we know that the aircraft is there, we would have somebody there to make sure.
And Trevor, you're associated with the Customs Division of getting into the Bahamas. If I'm a general aviation pilot and I want to go to the Bahamas, is it easy? How do I learn what the procedures are?
Well, as of recent, I mean, the government has tried to make it as easy and as less cost-effective as possible. Right now, we've implemented a form. I mean, it's an old form, but they've modified the form a little bit. It's the C-7A. Pilots coming in from outside of the territory, it's a $50 processing fee. Single engine, of course, there's no landing fee applicable to single engine aircrafts. And you can come in and check in at any one of the port of entries within the Bahamas.
And rough numbers, how many visitors do you have coming to the Bahamas through aviation, through private aviation?
Those numbers, I don't have those numbers at this time.
But are you yourself processing all of them, or do you have some help?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have ports scattered throughout the land and right up the Bahamas.
Yeah.
We start from Bimini in the north and down to Inagua in the south.
Do you have a sense of typically how many miles over water a GA pilot is going to be traveling when they come to visit the country?
It's roughly about 8 days, about
46. Well, if the first island you get to is 46 miles off the coast of Florida, which is the island of Bimini. So, I mean, 46 miles, you could almost swim that, right?
Perhaps you could. Perhaps you could.
Heck yeah.
So Bimini is the closest, it's 46 miles. But the Bahamas is made up of about 100,000 square miles. So, it's a lot of water.
One of the open questions, I think, is that if folks haven't thought about this, I'm going to guess they will, is that as we execute third-class medical reform in the United States, it may change the intervals or, how much time has elapsed since the last medical was done by a particular pilot. Is that going to be affected by any regulations that would affect their ability to fly in your country?
Not necessarily. What happened is when you make changes to your rules as it relates to aviation, the FAA normally inform our civil aviation department, and they work together. And so whatever rules that the U.S. set, normally our civil aviation would follow suit.
Okay. So not a concern.
Nothing
to worry about at this point.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Great.
What's the peak season for travel to the Bahamas by aviation? Is it all year long, or are there some highs and lows? Trevor?
Well, it's all year round, but normally during the summer months, especially during the time in which you guys have your holiday vacation, the holidays, that's when we normally have a high rate of flyers coming into the country.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the boaters.
For a GA pilot visiting the country, what interactions can they expect to have with customs?
Oh, well, it's direct. I mean, once you come in, actually, that they'll be the first set of individuals that you will see once you exit the aircraft. It's immediate, and
so
that's entry and departure.
So you're processing paperwork, you're checking documentation, doing
correct.
Those sorts of things.
Yeah, and it's a speedy progress. I mean, 10, 15 minutes, normally you're in and out.
And is there a limit on length of stay?
Not necessarily. Normally, immigration department will give you a 90-day period. And if you need an extension on that time, you can just go back in and normally give you an extension.
Does the form list, are there instructions with the form that you talked about that list documentation requirements to enter successfully?
Not on the form, but we have a pilot's guide. Basically, steps 1 through 10 would be in that guide. Once you follow that guide, basically you should be in good standing.
Well, that sounds to me like an excellent reason to visit the Federal Pavilion while you're here this week, right?
Yes, it is. Actually, we had quite a few visitors, and everybody left out with a big smile on their face.
Is the guide available online?
Okay. Bahamas.com.
Yes.
Okay, great. So they left with a big smile on their face because the procedure is clear and simple, or because they've now decided to come? What's the smile?
Procedure is clear. I mean, again, it's quick. And also, it's not as cost effective as, you know, if you go to some other region, you know.
Yeah, great
Mexico,
idea.
Mexico, those other places.
Right. And swimming, you know, is an alternative. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
So it sounds like what you're telling us is you're open for business and ready for visitors. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. All year long. All year long.
Yeah, perfect.
You know?
So we've been talking with Dennis Danes with the Royal Bahamas Police and with Trevor Rawl, who's a part of the customs organization. And one other question real quick before I forget for John Ostrom, who's with the Bird Strike USA. There was a piece on CBS Evening News that I happened to catch about 3 months ago about a dog whose job it is to scare off birds at an airport. You guys must have gotten tremendous publicity, positive buzz out of that, because it was a beautiful little story.
Yeah, there's actually, that's a fairly common technique to use dogs. It's also part of a raptor program where you can use other birds of prey to chase birds away. So that's one of the positives when we can sit there and get that kind of media coverage in that, and it helps our programs quite a bit.
Absolutely. So thanks again, John Ostrom with Bird Strike USA. So, Paul, we're at the end of another hour.
Yes, we are. It's been great working with you. We'll look forward to another day tomorrow.
Great. This is with Paul Preidecker, Stuck Mike, and you're listening to Squawk 1200 on EAA Radio.